Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, I'm not married to a Rupert Murdoch, okay, right? I'm not a six-figure, you know, salary professional, okay? And I realized that the one solid cash cow business, so I have to find mine. So basically, okay, I came up with two very simple steps or goals. So my goal was to just buy, you know, like 50 positive cash flow properties and extract equity from it. And then cookie cut it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're keeping the conversation going with Esme Chin, a property investor and an entrepreneur with a portfolio worth over $6 million. She'll discuss the two arms of her wealth creation strategy and show you how you can work towards your goal of owning that beautiful mansion overlooking the harbour. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. So what held Chin back from initially investing in property?
I think, you know, when people talk about property investing, okay, right, they always talk about, you know, how scared they are to start. You know what I mean? Like, I was shaking when I first talked to my, the first property that I bought, right, yeah. I was very nervous, I mean, but I wrote down everything that I wanted to ask the agent, you know what I mean? That's what I did. To me, you know, like, mindset is really, you know, like, being rich, really a mindset game, right? Success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. I came to the realization of why I wasn't rich. From my teenage years, okay, I already made up my mind, okay, to, you know, I set my thermostat at, I just want to be comfortable. And I was really stuck at just being comfortable all my life, you know what I mean? So my thermostat was not set on, I want to, you know, achieve massive wealth dial, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people are in my situation. And I do have internal struggle. I mean, like, I will tell you, one of my dreams is probably one day maybe to have a mansion overlooking the harbour, but, you know, Harbour Bridge. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, I'm embarrassed to even, you know, tell you about it. And that's not good because, you know, whatever I want to do, I'll probably sabotage it.
To overcome this, she set goals for herself and takes the time and effort to educate herself as much as possible.
I used to think that all these things like, you know, people talk about visualization, your dream vision board, all these things, you know, I used to think, oh my goodness, what a load of rubbish, you know, airy fairy rubbish kind of thing. You know, but the moment when I actually sat down, okay, and wrote down my goals, right, and usually I write it every year, that's when it started to just fly, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you'll be really surprised. I was surprised myself, actually. Once you have a goal, you know, you start doing things. And also, you know, like by reading a lot and things like that, right, you know, and spending money on courses, right, I spend, you know, hundreds of thousands on courses. You know, like sometimes, you know, people will think, oh, what a waste of money, you know, they try to shrimp here and there. You got to ask yourself, you know, like, how much do you want? I mean, like, say, for example, you know, a person that probably makes 20 million or 50 million or 100 million, you know, their education would be, you know, enormous. I mean, like, if you see all these really rich people like Richard Branson and, you know, like Buffett, they read nonstop. You know, 80% of Buffett's waking hours is to do with reading. I mean, like, I went to Mary Buffett's seminar, and that's what she said about her father-in-law. So it's, you know, commensurate. How much you spend on your, you know, financial education is commensurate with how much you're going to make one day.
A large part of Chin's education involves reading. One of the best sources of information she uses to condition her mindset is with an author named Bodo Schaefer.
One of my favorite is Bodo Schaefer. I don't know how many times I've read that. You know what I mean? I think it's called The Road to Financial Success. You can Google it. Yeah. That was a fantastic book. You know what I mean? It teaches you how to see things. You know what I mean? You know, he'll say things like, you have to have, because, you know, if, you know, you have to have a big goal, right? Because there will always be obstacles in front of that big goal. So if your obstacle is bigger than your goal, then all you can see is your obstacles and not your goal. Get it? Yeah. So if your goal is bigger than your obstacle, then you will keep going towards that, you know, goal. That's one of the things he teaches. And another thing he teaches is that, you know, like in life you've got to, and he's the one that promoted, like, every 10 years you work, you should take 1 year off. It's called sabbatical years. It's a year when you, you know, like, learn things and, you know, do things. He promotes that. And another thing he promotes is that, you know, you should always have a lot of cash, okay, in your pocket, because rich people have a lot of cash in their pocket. You've got to feel comfortable with that, you know, because you can't even feel comfortable with $1,000 on your pocket. You're never going to make millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? So that's one author that I really like. And the other one I like is Donald Trump. I mean, I know no one likes him, but, you know, he does have very important things to say. You know, things about, you know, like, I think, you know, being a property entrepreneur, you got to have intuition as well. You know what I mean? You know, like, yes, we do look at logic, okay, but, you know, like, which one we end up with sometimes is to do with your intuition. You know what I mean? And he told us a story about this stockbroker of his that is really, really sharp, right? And he asked him, why are you so good? You know what I mean? And she said, when she was a kid, right, her brothers would be playing ping pong in the other room, and she would always know who is, like, hitting the ball and who actually wins. And she put that sort of intuition, right, into her, you know, into her stockbroking, you know, career. So basically she can judge which stock's going up and down. You know what I mean? Like, I know all these things is very wishy-washy, but, you know, it does work. You know, your sixth sense does work. Yeah. And Robert Kiyosaki would be the last one I would say that. I read all his books, and he's, you know, got lots of really good ideas. Every book that he writes is something different from the next, from the last one I read. You know, I get different ideas.
The best advice she has ever received came from a developer who taught her the importance of having a good foundation.
Okay, this is from a developer. So he said that if only he kept one unit of every development he developed, he would have been so much richer. So this is an old man developer, you know what I mean? So I always remember that. And, you know, that's why, you know, it's important. That's why I like to have like a foundation portfolio.
Over time, Chin has built an extensive portfolio containing over 20 properties worth a collected value of $6 million. So, how has she done this?
I had to ask myself, what is my cash cow, right? Yeah. And, well, I'm not married to a Rupert Murdoch, okay, right? I'm not a six-figure, you know, salary professional, okay? And I realized that the one solid cash cow business, so I have to find mine. So basically, okay, I came up with two very simple steps or goals. So my goal was to just buy, you know, like 50 positive cash flow properties and extract equity from it and then cookie cut it. So basically the GSC actually reminded me of Paul Getty. He was probably one of the richest guys in the US. And during the 1930s when the share market crashed, right, he just bought whatever he could find, whether it's paintings or houses or whatever. So I did the same. So I bought like 14 properties in 1 year. I just went berserk. And the second step was to land bank, right? Buy houses with big pieces of land as much as I can afford. And then maybe 20 years later, go back, you know, subdivide, build granny flats, duplex, townhouses, see what you can do with that piece of land. You know what I mean? So, you know, basically, I had just these two goals, very simple, and I just go chug along, you know what I mean? To just accumulate that sort of property. And then, okay, later on, I tweak that strategy, okay, yeah? And basically, if you can just imagine two arms, okay? So on the left arm, it's like a keeper type of strategy, a buy and hold. So in other words, I have a foundation portfolio. And on my right arm, you know, like I want to do chunk deals or, you know me, I'm not very comfortable with doing deals, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So basically buy, hold, and maybe flip sometimes, or maybe just do some chunk deals, okay? So by doing chunk deals, you will have a chunk of money, right? Which I will back to my left arm, okay, right? So basically, my left arm, basically I have a chunk of money which I leave in my offset account, which helps me to lower debt, okay? That's one. And secondly, you know, act as a buffer so that... Because, you know, in property investing, there's always unexpected things happening all the time, all right? So there was one year when all my properties, including, you know, the city properties, actually went, you know, like the tenants just left. I mean, it did. I mean, like during that year, could I say.
Wow, all of them happened at once where all your tenants left.
Yes. So sometimes, you know, you have bad luck, all right, and it just strikes here. And there was another year whereby, you know, like... all my air cons, you know what I mean? Each one is $2,000. You know what I'm saying? So all that just went bust.
Wow, it all adds up then. And yeah, that makes it really challenging then.
So, and then thirdly, okay, it allows me to accumulate deposits. So it allows me to, you know, buy new properties and add to my asset base. So that was my tweak strategy.
She has also added a third arm to her portfolio, which she believes will accelerate her wealth creation strategy.
Now, in 2017, okay, I added a development arm. Okay, I realized that the top 200 richest Australians, you know, are developers and not property investors. Quite interesting, that guy. I mean, like, he was the richest man in 2016, right? He had $11 billion, right? You know, well, he's a developer, for one thing. But if you look at his like portfolio, it's quite interesting, right? I think 30% is in rentals, 30% is in service apartments, and 40%, okay, is development arm.
Within the next 5 years, she also aims to continue learning about development, starting off by undertaking joint ventures to get a feel for the process.
I know there's a lot of pitfalls, and after building foundation portfolio, I don't want to lose it all. I know there's a lot of pitfalls, you know, I know friends that does it. So, you know, like for me, you know, I would be looking at joint venturing with, you know, experts in their field and learning from them. So the next 5 years will be very interesting because I'm going to learn all aspects of development, okay, right, from subdivision, you know, to selling pieces of land to, you know, building high-rise. Yeah, so I'll probably, you know, try to do many projects, you know, 10, 20 projects before I would even dare to go on and do it on my own. I mean, like, I do go to courses, you know, like, and they make it sound like a breeze, okay, but it's not a breeze, okay, because I know because I'm currently in two projects and there's so many hiccups, okay, yeah, that some people don't know of. And that's why they get derailed. I mean, like, you know, I do have a property developer friend who's now selling fruit in the Sydney street, you know what I mean? Like, and it's very sad, you know what I mean? And it's very real, you know? Like, people always highlight the good things, you know, you see all this, the block and everything, you know, all the good things, but, you know, they don't show you all the bad things. In life, you got to take calculated risk. You don't just jump into the risk, you know what I mean? Like, I go to all these seminars, you know, a lot of people, you know, put up their hands and say, oh, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. I want to be a property developer or property investor tomorrow. I mean, like, it's crazy, all right? Absolutely crazy. Before I even buy a property, okay, I spent 6 months, you know, on realestate.com just looking at, you know, and familiarizing myself with all the prices, you know. I really know, by the time I actually go out there and buy, I already know everything about it. You know what I mean? At least the particular houses I'm, you know, interested in buying. You know what I mean? Like, for example, if I wanted to buy a house with granny flat, you know, I would know those areas so well, and know all the prices of those house and granny flats, you know, until, you know, I'm actually ready to go out there.
For those who aspire to quit their 9-to-5 job and become a property investor, Chin stresses the importance of keeping your job for the banks.
I know nobody likes, most people don't like their job, okay, right? Yeah, I know that, right? But, you know, like if you don't, then you got to, you know, ask yourself, okay, give yourself a time. Say, for example, you know, like you got to ask yourself, one, how old are you? Say, for example, if you're 40 or you're 50 years old, you probably give yourself 10 to 15 years left of, you know, property investing life, right? So you got to ask, okay, within those 10 years or 15 years, how many properties do you think you can buy? Now, maybe you got to give yourself a deadline. You can't just, you know, most of my friends are just chugging along. I'm not sure what they're hoping for. And you really don't want to end up in pension. You know what I mean? And all those people out there that, you know, slams negative gearing, I think they should, you know, think again, right? Because, you know, like, if the government does not support us to become property investors, what, you know, is the alternative, right? Okay? Because the alternative would be that the government will have to give us pension at the end of the day. It's going to cost you even more money. No, negative gearing only, you know, helps a property investor, right? They did. They already cut it last time, okay? And they had to put it back on. I don't know why people forgot that point. You know what I mean? I mean, I think Australia has this tall poppy syndrome, you know what I mean? They just, you know, jealous is all that I can say sometimes of other people. I mean, like, you know, the most funny thing is that it's actually quite an equal world, okay? Everybody can be a property investor, right? You know, they just don't want to make the effort. Do you know how many times I actually ask my friends to come along to some of the free seminars or whatever? It's like pulling teeth, you know, okay? And my brothers and sisters just flatly said to me, you know, I'm just not interested. And I'm just thinking, how can you not be interested? You know, it's your future. You know, finance is your future. You should be interested. They put every other thing in front, you know, of their finance, you know, like taking their kids to this sport and that sport is more important, you know, rather than their finance. I don't know. They just don't think. And then at the end, when they hit like 40 or 50, then they panic. And then they think, oh, my God, you know. Too late now.
Too late, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then they go on a pension and it's not even enough to live on.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Chin's personal habits that have contributed to her success as a property investor.
So writing things down is really good. It clarifies your thoughts, okay, everything.
Her thoughts on the upcoming trends on what areas to invest in.
Be concentrating in the Western Sydney, all right? You know, despite what everybody says, right? You sometimes got to push away the noise, you know, like a wave. Push it away, right? And look at it for what it is, right?
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. A personal habit which Chin attributes to her success in property investing is journaling.
I have 4 journals, which I recommend to even my own students, right? So basically, I have 4 journals. One of them, okay, is just a personal journal, right? And every time I open it up by writing, you know, like what 3 things that I'm grateful for, right? And then I would just write down what happened during the day, you know, just my personal stuff, right? But, you know, like it clarifies your thoughts, right? I think it's very important. I mean, and also, you know, like, you never know, one day you might become famous and that could be turned into a book, right? And, you know, we forget things, you know what I mean? Every 10 years go so fast, you know, from us, and we forget things. So writing things down is really good. It clarifies your thoughts, okay, everything. So that's one. The second journal that I have, okay, is it's an ideas journal. So, you know, like, for example, I like to travel, right? When I do travel, I see new ideas, so I write it down, you know what I mean? And then at the back, so that's the front of the journal, I will write that. And at the back of the journal, I will write down, you know, all the quotes that I get that inspires me, right? Whether it's from the internet or from a book I read, from somebody, you know, from the words of a seminar presenter, or, you know, just anything, or, you know, just even every day. So that's my ideas journal. And then I have another one, it's my success journal, right? So I write down, you know, all in the front of the book, I write down all the things that I've been successful in my life, right? Whether it's, you know, just little things, you know, like whether it's a degree that you got or you won an award or whatever it is, right? So, and then at the back, okay, of the success journal, I will write down things that, you know, like even if simple things, you know, when people say, you look good today, or, you know, you're very smart or whatever, you know what I mean? Just write it down, okay? And then another one, the fourth book would be a realization journal. So, you know, I write down all the things, whether it's my personal, right? Or, for example, I suppose, you know, my failure as in the marriage, okay? Write down all the things that I learned from that. And also the other side of the book, you know, I would write down, you know, all my, you know, like all the problems that I had with property, right? So that I will never do the same mistake again. You know what I mean? So basically, these four journals, okay, is to shore up your confidence. It's very important to do that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like if you don't have that confidence, it's very hard to keep going. You know what I mean? And, you know, like sometimes if you're down, okay, you look at your success journals and it keeps you going.
Looking back on all the things she wrote also helps her to smooth the bumps in the road when she's trying to reach her goals.
I find that, you know, like, because sometimes like in life, you know, you always have problems, you know, whether it's personal or whether it's business, you know, but by writing things down, it smooths all the kinks in your life. You know what I'm saying? That's what the journal is good at, you know. It's, you know, it gives you your quiet time. You know, you sit down, you write, and you know, it just smooths out. Makes your thoughts much, much more clearer. You know what I mean? And I don't go back as often as I should, right? But, you know, it's there and it's a reminder, like, you know, the realization journal is a reminder, oh, now I got to make sure that, okay, I don't invest in these places or, you know, okay, like, for example, the ice place, you know, I was telling you about, you know, that, okay, if I meet the same problem, this is what I'll do, you know, I will, you know, fortify the place, you know, that sort of thing. It's just a reminder. It's really good for you.
If she were to meet her past self from 10 years ago, what would she say?
I'd probably tell her to invest more in Sydney now that I've seen it on hindsight. But most likely I would have told her about what the, you know, the guy said about the three things. Huh? Lifting a ceiling to join more joint venture things, you know. But, you know, once I did go to this seminar, and the guy was very interesting. He made us look to our future successful self, right, and asked us, and to ask that successful self, you know, what they would impart to us today, you know what I'm saying? So, like, look 10 years into the future, in other words. So it was quite interesting, you know, and my future successful self said to me, you know, never, ever, ever give up. And whenever there's an opportunity that comes your way, you know, grab it, okay, and multiply that by 10. And I have to say, okay, I have, you know, taken that into account and it has shaped my, you know, journey.
So what is her view on the upcoming trends on where to invest?
If I was an investor right now, okay, and if I'm buying today, I'd be concentrating in the Western Sydney, all right? You know, despite what everybody says, right, you sometimes got to push away the noise, you know, like a wave, push it away, right, and look at it for what it is, right? You know, people are thinking, you know, like, oh, you know, the average wage is 70,000, you know, like, but then the properties is like 1.22 million. You know, Sydney is too expensive, you know what I mean? But I think they forgot one thing, which is, right, that, you know, Sydney has changed, you know what I mean? And that, you know, when you think of London, Paris, New York, what's the next one? Sydney. You know what I mean? But why? Because we've got all the icons in the world. It's a wonder we were never, you know, like in the top four. You know what I mean? We've got the bridge, we've got the, you know, the opera house. You know, they're very iconic. And it's a beautiful city, and it's such a temperate city, right? And also don't forget, right, the rest of the world, you know, like Hong Kong, New York, right, there mainly cannot afford a house. Okay, most are renters. So what makes you think, you know, we should be different? You know what I'm saying? And also, you know, like, this is the place where everybody wants to come. And don't forget, right, okay, we always think that we're part of England, right? We're not part of England. We always think that we're, that's our mother country, but we're not. We're actually located in Asia.
Accessibility to airports and surrounding infrastructure is another element that Chin believes you need to look out for when identifying where to buy.
You look at the Badgerry Creek Airport. You know, that's a real game changer, you know? And being an entrepreneur is someone that you must be able to predict the future, okay, yeah? Ideally, if you can, that would help you a lot, right? I have to say this, okay, like, I'm not sure whether it will come true, but I'm just thinking, right, you know, the airport in Kingsford Smith, right, in eastern suburbs, right, yeah? Maybe one day, okay, if this is so successful, they may even, you know, move the entire airport across to this, you know, Badgerry Creek area. Why? Because, you know, like, think about it, okay, like, right? I mean, Sydney is the only place where you can go to the airport within 15 to 20 minutes. Look at the rest of the world, like KL or Hong Kong, right? It takes an hour to get to the airport, right? And that piece of land there, okay, you know, people like Meriton and Merwett would pay, you know, millions of dollars for it because it's next to the beach. You know what I mean? Such a valuable piece of land, you know? And the use is not being used well, you know, not to its highest and best value.
Yeah.
I mean, and I can tell you something, in the Western Sydney, right, a lot of those places like Blacktown has gone up to about 700,000 or 800,000, right? So they're looking at all their little neighbours next door, okay, in places like St. Mary's, you know, all this Bidwill, Tregear, you know, once upon a time, you know, people would never touch these type of places. But they're looking at all their neighbours and they're looking and they see, oh, you know, they're selling for what, you know, 500, you know what I mean? So they're going over there to buy, you know what I mean? And they're putting granny flats there to make sure that, you know, they, you know, quite positive cash flow.
Yeah.
If I have one word of advice for, you know, the viewers, the listeners today, right, would be to, like, when you buy, you know, I would probably, if I was to go into buy today, right, I would probably buy one for capital growth and one for cash flow, one for capital growth, one for cash flow. One for capital growth, one for cash flow. Because I cannot just ignore, okay, capital growth.
If you'd like to connect with Chin and learn more about her strategy and the mindset behind it, you can do so via email.
I do personal coaching as well. So if anyone wants to connect with me, okay, it's on esmec@life.com. So esmec@life.com, okay? So Esme, you know, like E for England, S for Sally, M for Mary, E for England, C for China, at life.com. And yes, I would, the first five that actually connect with me, I will give them a book on property that I wrote. And if there's any single women out there, okay, I did write a book called How I Got 2,000 Guys to Say Hi. I'm happy to give like five of that book as well.
Thank you to Esme Chin, our guest on this episode of Property Invest Story. If you want to hear more about her journey, then visit our website at propertyinveststory.com. Simply type in the search bar Esme Chin and select that episode to learn more about her story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.